Hi, I'm Anthony. Thanks for joining us today. If this is your first time at Blackhawk, we are so glad you're here. We are one church in three locations, and we want to work together for the good of our city, leading with the love of Jesus. We hope this is a place you'll find connection both with God and others. New here? Head to our website and say hi on our I'm New page, or stop at Connection Point at your site for a welcome card. Are you looking for a community of musicians who use their gifts to help others connect with God? Our worship arts community is holding auditions for our Sunday worship bands, and we'd love to invite you to apply. We believe God has uniquely gifted everyone to serve in His kingdom, and your musical gifts could be a part of leading others in worship each week. We are especially looking for drummers, an electric guitar, and bass players, but all are welcome. For more details, head to the Serve page on our website. Are you considering ministry as a vocation? Check out Blackhawk's internship program, with internship opportunities available in many of our ministries. We are currently accepting applications for the spring 2022 season, and applications are due October 15th. Check out the internship page on our website for more info and an application. Baptism can be one of the most powerful experiences you can have in your journey following Christ. This fall, we'll have a baptism service on Friday, October 29th. If you're interested in being baptized at this service, you can fill out a baptism commitment form online by September 26th. If you want to learn more about baptism, consider attending our Discovering Baptism class on September 19th. This one-hour class explores the biblical teaching on the meaning of baptism and is a safe place to learn and ask questions. You can register for Discovering Baptism online. To learn more or sign up for any of these opportunities, visit the What's Happening page on our website. If you'd like to share a prayer request, get more info about our ministries, or find out how to connect through serving, you can stop by Connection Point on your way out today or connect with us online. Thanks again for joining us today.
Well, hi, everyone. It's good to see all of you, whether you're joining us in this room. We're glad to have you joining us if you are joining us online from your home. It's such a privilege to be gathered here each week together as the people of God, focusing our hearts on Him and connecting with one another. So I want to invite you, if you're in this room, to stand as we get started today. If you're online, we invite you to join with us too as we sing this song to ground ourselves in the reality of our God, who is here, who is holy, who is worthy of our worship this morning.
You are here, you're turning lives around.
privilege of worshiping this great God. This great God who is worshiped across the world by people from every tribe, nation, and tongue. This God who is building a kingdom that is multicultural, multi-ethnic. So as we have done before, we're going to sing the second half of this song in Spanish. Give it your best shot in joining with us. We're going to sing this part. Even if I can't see it, you're working.
Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Siempre estás sobrando. Siempre estás sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver, está sobrando. Siempre estás sobrando. Siempre estás sobrando. Aunque no pueda.
Unchanging, holy, high and awesome God. Help us to just be awestruck in your presence as we catch more of a glimpse of who you are. Thank you that you are the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God, the God who is everywhere, that you, your presence is everywhere. Your presence is in those places where there is suffering, where there is loss, where there is confusion right now. Places like Afghanistan, places like Haiti, places that have been struck by Hurricane Ida. Places where people have lost homes, lost loved ones. Places where people are looking at a long rebuilding process and not sure what that's going to look like. And yet we declare, God, you are there. That you would make your presence known in just awesome ways, especially in these spaces, Lord, that you would make your presence of comfort known, that you would make your peace that passes understanding known, that you would come and make your provision known in those places where there is need. And show us, Lord, as your body, how we can be your hands and feet in the places where there are needs. Thank you, God, that you are the waymaker. You are the one who keeps promises, and you are the one who shines your light into the darkest places. We worship you. In Jesus' name, we pray together. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, welcome again to Black Hawk Church on this very first Sunday of September. You can go ahead and have a seat. Can't believe it is September, which means fall is upon us. And actually, with fall being upon us, also means that our college age students are with us as well. And we are very excited about that. We are so glad that you are back. Here at Black Hawk, we love college students. So we really hope that this is a safe place that you can grow and get connected. And actually, we'd like to invite you to a gathering of our college age ministry that is happening this Tuesday at 8 p.m. at the Upper House. So we hope many of you will be there. Welcome back, college students. And actually, all students, whether it be preschool, elementary, middle school, high school, college, or beyond, we are so excited for your new semester. And teachers and professors, we just want you to know that we are praying for you and we are cheering you on. So have a great year. All right, well, today is the last week of our Rooted series, which we've spent 9 weeks kind of going at the core of who we are as a church, and it's been just really great to do that together. But starting next week, we have a new series that's also very exciting. We are going to go through the book of Acts as a church. Take a look at this.
Everyone has a mission. What you wake up thinking about, the places you head off to, the things you choose to do with your precious time, those say a lot about the kind of mission you are on. Some of us are on a mission to learn, a mission to grow, a mission to succeed, a mission to make a name in the world. But the church has a greater mission, a kingdom mission. A mission that can literally change the world. And the church is you. You have a mission. We have a mission. A mission that began with Jesus 2,000 years ago. A mission empowered by the Holy Spirit. A mission to share the fullness, wonder, and beauty of life in God to the ends of the earth. The church is on a mission. A mission to change the world. Are you in?
Excited to see what God is going to show us as we go through the book of Acts as a church. And to do that, we have a few resources that we want to share with you today. First of all, we have these journals. They were created just for this series that we're going to go through. It's filled with all the passages that we're going to go through. And so we really hope that this will be a great resource to help you grow in your relationship with God this fall as we go through Acts. If you are in person, you can pick one of these up starting today. And if you are not in person, we have a PDF version online on our website. And then we also have a reading plan that you can follow through YouVersion. We won't be able to hit every single verse of the book of Acts in our series on Sundays. However, the YouVersion reading plan will get you through the whole book. So we hope you take advantage of that as well. And you can find more information about both of these resources on the Acts resource page of our website. Okay, before we head into our message, we just wanted to take a moment to highlight something really cool that happened this past Sunday. So 7 of our church family were baptized in our evening baptism service on this past Sunday. And it is one of our favorite things to do around here, because in a baptism service, we get to hear stories of how God is transforming lives. And last Sunday was not short of just amazing, wonderful stories that we got to hear about people in our Black Hawk family. And so we just want you to know that that is something you saw in the What's Happening, and another one will be coming up soon. But congratulations to those that were baptized. And not only is the baptism service cool because we get to hear what God is doing, it's also an amazing reminder that God, even in the midst of this pandemic that we're going through, allows and invites us to, as a church community, to also be part of changing and transforming lives. So we just wanted to say thank you to you for all that you do as you give and as you serve, so that we can work together as a church family to build and to reach. So thank you. All right, with that, let's hand it over to Matt for the last Sunday of the Rooted series.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to Black Hawk Church. How's everybody doing here? Everybody doing okay? Fantastic. Hey, and would you join me right now in welcoming everybody who is watching us online? So for all of you downtown, all of you of Fitchburg, everybody watching everywhere, man, we're so glad that we have a chance to be together. Okay, and I'm going to ask you to clap again in just a minute, because also welcome back, college students. So we are so glad that you're here to be with us. Regardless of what site or what venue you're in right now, or if you're here live in the room, we just love college students. We love that you're a part of our church, regardless if you're undergrad or grad or PhD students, faculty and staff. We're just glad that you're a part of things. And our hope is that while you're here in Madison, while Dane County is home for you, that Black Hawk can be a place that feels like home as well. That it's not just a place that you attend, but it's a community and a family that you can be a part of. And that's really what we're hoping to see happen. So I know that for all sites and venues, if you're a college student there, your site pastor, venue pastor would love to get a chance to meet you. If you're around here, I'd love to meet you after. Come and say hi, but we're glad that you're here. And it also is kind of crazy to think that you all are here, because that means that another school year is on us right now, which is kind of crazy. Like, if you're an elementary school or middle school or high school student in the room, my guess is you've been back in school for a little bit. I was talking with a few students just a couple minutes ago who have been back in school for 2 weeks. College students at the UW, MATC, Edgewood, I know things have started or are getting ready to start this week. And anybody else feel like this? It just feels like yesterday it was the 4th of July. Anyone, you feel like that? It's just crazy to think that we're here at this place. I always love 4th of July, to be honest, because at 4th of July, I know there's like a lot of summer still left, and that feels really good. 4th of July, I just love it because in the evening also, there are fireworks. Anyone else fireworks fans? You kind of just dig seeing the sky explode like that. It's sort of the best. Yeah, I love them so much. In our neighborhood here in Madison, where Rachel and I live, every year our neighborhood does this incredible fireworks display on the 4th of July. And we always will go over to this particular park in order to watch, and some of our friends will come with us. And man, fireworks, they're just the best. You know, you kind of get set up in the evening and you spray down because of bugs and everything like that, and you're in your lawn chairs or on a blanket and you're just waiting for it to start, and then finally they start. And if you're close enough, you're at that place where you can hear them not just explode in the sky, but you hear them go off. You know that sound where it's like, and then you hear, you know, and it just takes off, and then they'll shoot a couple, you know, and you're just sitting there watching it, taking it all in. And that's great, but the part, honestly, that I love more than anything else is the grand finale. You know, I mean, like, let's be honest. You never really, or rarely, if you do see this, it's a lame fireworks show. It's never just like one last firework. Thump. Okay, thanks for being here. It just never ends like that. We want to end where, like, the sky gets crazy, you know? And that's what I love. And so there's always this, like, energetic anticipation of when's that moment going to start. You know what I'm talking about? And so finally, like in between, like there's sort of this lull, and then all of a sudden you hear this. It's like the guys who are doing the show are like, just grab everything we haven't shot off yet, and we're getting it up in the sky now. And all of it starts to go up, and the sky just gets crazy. It turns into like a strobe light of colors, and like the smoke smell of fireworks starts to fill the air. And there are those white ones that go off that are just like big, loud booms that you feel in your chest, and it just gets wild. And people just sit there. There's like a response from people as you're watching this. People are like hooting and hollering and cheering and clapping, and like this is all of it's happening. It's just the best moment, the grand finale. There is nothing like it. But what I want to do today, I actually want to try to build some of that feeling and emotion inside of us today as we talk about the subject that we're going to talk about.
I want to try to build some of that anticipation and excitement and wondering and expectancy on what is to come, because today we are talking about the second coming of Christ. And the second coming of Christ, it's the grand finale of all grand finales. So we have been in this series that we've been going through right now called Rooted, which we actually started back on the 4th of July. That was the very first week. And so for the last 10 weeks, if you haven't been here at all, if you're new around our church or new to joining us online, we have been looking at the foundational beliefs that we hang on to as Christians. What are the main things that are most important for us, not just to know, but to actually root ourselves in, so that when the storms of life inevitably come, that we don't end up getting knocked over by them, but we stand strong because of the beliefs that we're rooted in. And all of these beliefs we've been hanging on to, really, they all land in the statement of faith of our denomination, the denomination our church is a part of, the Evangelical Free Church of America. And so we have been looking at subjects like God, and the Bible, and Jesus, and the church, and the Holy Spirit, and sin, and all of these different subjects. And today we come to the second coming of Christ. But the second coming of Christ is not just another subject. It's the grand finale that we root ourselves in, that we put our hope in for the future. Turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, to the book of Acts right now. Acts chapter 1, and that's actually where we're going to kick off. It's kind of fun that we're looking at the beginning of the book of Acts, because next week we do start this new series in the book of Acts that Charles is going to kick off for us, and we are super excited about this series. So this is just like a little appetizer of what is to come. Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 9. Now, a little bit of background. Jesus at this point, he has lived his life here on earth. And he has been a part of his ministry for the last few years, helping for the people of the world to understand that he was the Son of God and he is the Savior of the world. At this point, the religious elite, they have written him off. He has been sentenced to be crucified and died on a Roman cross to pay for the sins of all of mankind. And now he has risen again, triumphant over death, and appeared to all of his disciples, all of his followers. In fact, over 500 people now have seen Jesus since he's risen from the grave. And now he comes to the point where he is about to ascend back to heaven. That's where we pick up the story. So starting with verse 9, it says this. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Okay, and this is the belief that Christians have hung on to since that time, that Jesus would one day come again. Now, let's be honest though, okay? That's kind of a weird subject, the idea of Christ's second return. Theologians talk about this all the time. There are all kinds of rabbit holes that we could fall into today as we go into this message. And my guess is that for all of us, potentially you're going to leave with more questions than you have answers. And yet, it's important for us to talk about. I mean, think about this. There were all kinds of prophetic writing about the first coming of Jesus in the Old Testament. And for most of those, we look at those every year around Christmas time, and we look at those with like warm, fuzzy feelings, because we saw the way that Jesus returned. We've seen the way that that played out. But now when it comes to the second coming of Jesus, well, that hasn't happened yet. So we don't know what it's going to look like. So therefore, it seems like a weird subject. But here's the reality. For as many passages as there are in Scripture about the first coming of Jesus, there are five times as many passages about the second coming of Jesus. So if it's talked about that much in Scripture, maybe it's important for us to really take a look at and try to understand, that we would see the way it's supposed to affect our lives. Our denomination, actually, after looking at all of the different statements in Scripture, came up with a pretty concise belief statement that actually is pretty good for us to grab onto. So it says this. It says, we believe in the personal, bodily, and glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of Christ at a time known only to God demands constant expectancy and our blessed hope. And as our blessed hope motivates the believer to godly living, sacrificial service, and energetic mission. What I want to do is I just want to unpack some of this statement today. Really starting with these particular first three words. We believe in the personal, bodily, and glorious return of Jesus. Okay, personal and bodily, what does that mean? Well, it just reminds us from what Scripture tells us, from what this passage in Acts 1 tells us, that Jesus is not coming back hypothetically. He's not coming back ethereally as like some type of energy force or something like that. No, he's coming back in a human body, in his resurrected human body. That's what he is coming back in. He's coming back just like humanity. So it's important for us to realize that if the disciples were here on the planet when Jesus returns, they would recognize him because of the way that he looks. He's coming back as a human. But even though he's coming back as a human, the reality is, man, his return, it is going to be amazing, epic, incredible. Like nothing we can wrap our minds around. It is going to be unbelievable. It's going to be glorious. Now, what's that going to look like? Because, you know, us, I mean, let's be honest, in our Western world that we live in, we want to know the details. We want to know the game plan. It's like, what exactly is going to happen? How is this all going to go down? If I could get a timeline layout of the way it's all going to take place, that would be fantastic. But reality is, we're not given that. Now, there are all kinds of theories that are out there that I'm sure that some of you have heard about when it comes to, like, the rapture and when it comes to the seven-year tribulation that's supposed to take place and the millennium. There are all kinds of theologians who come up with all kinds of different theories of the way that this is going to go down. For some of you, you're looking at it going, are we going to talk about amill or premill or postmill, all of those things. Now, look, for the sake of time, we're not going to dive into all of that today. Look, I took a seminary class for an entire semester on just this subject. We're barely scratching the surface. But if you're interested in diving into that stuff, look, on our website, on our blog, we've put all kinds of different material out there that you can take a look at. Different areas to things to read, different podcasts to listen to, videos to watch, and you can dive into that. And also, this coming week on our podcast, we're going to deal with this subject. If you have questions, you can turn them in, and we'd love to be able to deal with them. But the thing that all of these different theologians, even though they speak differently of the way that it's all going to end up, the thing that they would all say they would all agree on, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be like nothing we have ever seen before. Think about this. The first time that Jesus came, he came as a humble sacrificial servant. The next time that Jesus comes, he comes as the conquering king. The first time that he came to lay down his life for mankind and pay the penalty for our sins. The second time that he comes to judge humanity in order to make all things right. The first time he came as the sacrificial lamb. The next time that he comes as the Lion of Judah to make all things right and to completely put to death sin and death. Jesus comes to put death to death and lead us into a world of perfection where there is no sin, no suffering. We can't even wrap our minds around what it's going to be like. It's going to be amazing, grand finale. But we're here. Like, we see all that and we hear all that. In fact, there's a passage actually that points towards that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 through 18 is a classic passage that talks about this idea. It says, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, Encourage one another with these words. Okay, now again, like you might be looking at that going, Matt, that just sounds crazy. Like that just seems weird. Yeah, you're right. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like. Look, when Paul was writing this passage, he was writing to the early church in Thessalonica. That's who the Thessalonians were. And many of these people, they were living at the time, they would have known of the idea of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And they believed, this first century church, they believed that Jesus was coming back in their timeline. Like they thought it was going to happen during their lives. And so they had questions for Paul on, all right, if we have friends and family who believe in Jesus, who die before Jesus returns, what's going to happen to them in comparison to what's going to happen to us? And so Paul was just simply trying to give them a picture of what that was. He wasn't trying to give them a detailed account of how things were going to go in structure and order. It says at the end, he was just simply trying to encourage them. The way that they can encourage one another is they continue in this world that we live in. And the interesting thing to think about is the world that they live in is the same world that we live in. It's this broken in-between. It's the in-between between Jesus coming to pay the penalty for our sins so that for any of us who have come to the place where we've accepted Jesus and him alone for our salvation, we have eternal life. We are in right relationship with God once again because of Christ's death and resurrection and payment for our sins. But we still live in a broken world. And we all know that. It doesn't take very long to look at this world and realize that it's broken. I mean, like, it still works, but we know it doesn't work the way it was supposed to. It kind of reminds me of my car stereo. So I have an older Subaru Impreza that I drive, and every time in the last year this happened, now that I start my car, has an old CD player. And anyone else still have a CD player in your car right now? Yeah, there's about eight of us. That's awesome. So every time that I start my car, my CD player decided to let me know that it still existed by making this horribly annoying noise every time I start my car. Now, I could reenact it for you, but I thought it might be more fun if you just saw it for yourselves. So take a look at this for just a minute. All right, so just to give you a little idea of what I get to experience every time I start my car, listen to this. You wish you were riding with me. Yep, thank you. And if any of you need a ride after church, you know, just let me know. You can experience it for yourself. Now, here's the thing. Okay, I've been dealing with that for like 9 months or so. And some of you were like, why? The reason, it still works. You know, like, I can still listen to music from my phone, like through my stereo. I can still listen to the radio. I can do all of that stuff that I've done. And you're like, yeah, but it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. You see, it's the same way with the world that we live in. Like, we're in it. It works. But we all know that it doesn't work the way that it's supposed to. I mean, that's the point that we were trying to see. And so we're stuck in this world right now where it's not working perfectly. And we look to the idea of Jesus coming again and he hasn't come. And we don't know when that's going to happen. The statement of faith actually talks about this really quickly. It says, the coming of Christ at a time known only to God. Do you ever read these articles or see these things online of people making predictions of when the end of the world is coming? The thing that always helps me with that is anytime I see one of those, I know that's not when it's going to happen. Because scripture tells us that no one knows. In fact, Jesus said that. Look at this passage in Matthew 24. I think this is so cool. Jesus was talking to his followers about the end times at one point, and he said this, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Okay, do you catch what he just said there? The angels and the Son. In other words, he's saying, I don't even know. Only the Father knows. You know, he is the only one that knows right now. And so we're stuck in this place right now where we're looking at it going, okay, like, We don't know. So if we don't know, then how are we supposed to live? Well, the statement actually goes on to give us a better idea on that. It says that we are to live with constant expectancy. Okay, so this makes sense. Like if we are people still living in this broken in-between, we're supposed to live with a constant expectancy that the grand finale is coming. But here's the thing, that gets difficult, doesn't it? Because when you think about it, that passage we looked at just a little bit ago, the early church back in Thessalonica, all the early churches, they thought Jesus was coming back in their timeline. And then it didn't happen. And then the next generation comes along, and the next generation after that, and after that, and after that, all the way to us. And it can be really easy for us to be people who are going, all right, Lord, when's this gonna happen? Like, is it really gonna take place? When's this all going to go down? See, the thing that we have to understand is our view of time is so different than the Lord's. And our plans are so different than the Lord's. Scripture talks about this idea. Peter actually spoke about it with a group of people in the book of 1 Peter. He said this. He said, look, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. In other words, we serve a God who is outside of time, so much bigger than we can wrap our minds around. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. You see, we aren't given the time, and we don't know how it's all going to go, but God's desire, he is outside of time, and his desire is to see as many people as possible come to the place of accepting Jesus as their Savior. That's what he wants to see happen. So we live in this world of the broken in between. So how are we supposed to live in that with this constant expectancy that we're supposed to live in? Because it can be easy for us to get off balance in that. For some people, constant expectancy becomes where they become so focused on the future, focused on heaven, that they lose any motivation to transform this world into what God intended it to be transforming it into. They lose the idea of the here and now because of their future. Maybe you've heard the phrase before, if someone can become so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good, that's the idea of this group of people. But I think that for most of us, I don't think we fall into that place. I think for most of us, we go to the other side where we just don't think about it. The idea of the second coming of Christ, really, the passages are weird. I don't get the way it's all gonna go down. So I'm just focused on the here and now, and we become so focused and preoccupied on the here and now, we don't actually ever think about it. And really, if we take it a step farther than that, for some of us, we don't think about it because we've become so enamored with this world that when we think about heaven and what we can understand of heaven, it doesn't even seem like it's going to be all that great. So we just assume, just kind of focus on here and stay here, because when we look at it, we just don't even know if it's really gonna be that awesome. Back when I was a youth pastor in South Florida, years and years and years ago, down there, one particular year at Halloween in October, there was, okay, so you know how around Halloween, pretty much every city has these, they're haunted houses that people go to, and you go and you pay money to walk through this deal in a building and have people like scare you, you know, and people call it fun, and that's what people do. So haunted houses. Well, down in South Florida, this was kind of big at this time. There was a Christian organization that put on a haunted house alternative, so that you could go to. And we decided to take some of our youth group to this. And so basically what it was like the alternative to a haunted house. So we paid money, you go in, and you're in this like real life like reenactment of something that had taken place. It was this kid who grew up in the church and he was a believer. He had given his life to Jesus, but then once he got to high school, he had fallen in with a bad crowd. And so you're walking through his life, seeing all this takes place as he gets into like drinking and drugs and then ends up in a gang. And then finally, like in his high school career, he ends up in a car accident where he dies. And they keep showing these things that are like supposed to scare you as they happen. And he dies. And the thing is though, he was a Christian, But all of his buddies were not Christians, and so they go to hell. And so what we had to do in the haunted house was walk down this long hallway of what was supposed to be hell. And so we're walking down this hallway, and it's like dark, and all you're hearing is noises on the outside of all of this, of like screams and yells and chains and scary noises, all of this stuff. It's supposed to be hell. And then you walk down, at the end of this hallway is this room that you walk in that's supposed to be heaven. And so we walk into this big, bright room. It's all of us together, a big group of us. We walk into this room, and it's like there's crepe paper on all the walls that was light blue, I think to make it feel like you're in the sky, you know? And then there were these like billowy clouds that were all around, and there were people on white robes, like in white robes on these clouds. And you listened, there was harp music playing in the background. And there were the people who were like standing there with harps in their hands going like this. And a couple other dudes like with these trumpets that they held up in the, it reminded me of like Chuck E. Cheese with the mechanical people that you saw as they're doing this and the harp music. And then all the people start going like this. And they're motioning this direction towards a door on the other side of the room. And all of a sudden the door opens and in walks Jesus, like into this room. I'm sitting there. I have no category to put this in at this point. And Jesus walks in and he comes over to, you know, there are people all standing. He comes over to each group and he has this melancholy look on his face. He looks at a group and he says, "I love thee." Like he was speaking King James. I had no idea Jesus spoke King James, but he was speaking, "I love thee." Goes to another group, "I died for thee. So I gave myself for thee." And I'm sitting there, I can't believe what I'm seeing at this point. And one of my students at this point leans up to my ear and he goes, "Heaven's lame." And I thought, yeah, pretty much. Now, here's the thing. Okay, that's a, you know, over-the-top example. But I think for some of us, if we really get down to what's going on inside of us, we kind of think, well, I don't know. I just wonder, is heaven going to be kind of lame? Like, are we just going to sit around on clouds and, like, worship, like, harps and trumpets and, like, just go like this towards Jesus? Like, is that really it? You all, heaven is going to be unbelievable. And the new heaven and new earth that Christ comes to set up for us, it is going to blow our minds. We don't have like the ability to wrap our mind around how amazing it's going to be. Picture, if you will, you're having a conversation somehow with an unborn child in the womb of its mother. And you're trying to explain to them the beauty of this world. Like, think about trying to explain, oh, you're going to love it someday. There's sunshine, and you're going to love the sun. They're like, what's this? What's sun? Oh, it's this big ball of light. Well, what's light? Oh, and as it moves, like, we get seasons. Seasons are amazing, and you're going to feel the coolness of the air and the breeze. What's breeze? I've never experienced breeze. Oh, it's incredible. Just trust me. You're going to love it. And then the fall comes. Fall's coming on us, and the leaves, they change colors. They become orange and green and red, you know, orange and yellow and red, and they're like, well, what's orange and red? Like, there's no language that you can give in order to help them understand it. That's like trying to help us understand how amazing a world is going to be without sin. Like, okay, let's do something for a minute. All sites, all venues, everybody playing this game, go ahead, close your eyes for just a minute, okay? And I want you to think about a world, we're just going to start with a low ball. I want you to think about a world without COVID. And chuckles start all around the room, so it's good. A world without COVID. Think about the mask that you're wearing right now. If you're wearing one, you don't have to wear that anymore. If you're home, you might not be wearing one. No one has to wear masks anymore. Think about the like overworked hospital workers, no longer an issue. People on ventilators, people who are sick. Vaccines that they're trying to continue to figure out and get pushed through. None of that's actually happening. Okay, let's go to another one. Think about a world without cancer. Some of you are dealing with cancer right now. So think about you're not. Think about loved ones that you know who are dealing with that. Chemotherapy that's taking place, that's such a struggle for people. Think about the physical and emotional toll on people's lives. It's gone. It's no longer an issue. How about conflict? Think about conflict that takes place in this world. Think of world conflict. Think of wars that are happening in other areas of the world. and they're gone. The Afghanistan, everything happening there, no longer an issue. It's just not happening. Think about racial conflict that continues to happen in this country, in the world. None of it's taking place. Social conflict that's taking place, none of it. Because people are loving each other the way that God intended us to love each other, caring for one another, meeting each other's needs, serving one another. Think about natural disasters, everything that we know that's taken place in Haiti and other areas of the world. None of that's taking place. Think of death not being an issue that anyone has to think of. Think of political unrest that's happening in our country. No longer is any political unrest happening anywhere. Why? Because, well, Jesus is in control. And we're all under his authority as the perfect, loving, just judge. Anybody feel your blood pressure just starting to drop a little as you think about that? Okay, open your eyes. That just begins to scratch the surface of where we're headed. It just begins to give us just a glimpse of what it is that we're headed to. Heaven is going to be greater than we can ever understand or imagine. Okay, so that's what we're headed towards. But so what do we do now? Well, Scripture gives us this picture of living with something like what I like to call patient expectancy. Look at this passage of Scripture in the book of James for just a minute. James chapter 5, verse 7, it says this. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Patiently waiting. Patient expectancy. It means that we continue to do the things that God has called us to do in this world. We stand firm and continue to move forward with the work that he has given us to transform this world into what he intended it to be by the jobs that we do, the way that we love one another, the way we move towards society and help people to understand who Jesus is. And we live expectant. It means that we live with hope. Which, let's be honest, in the broken world that we live in, isn't it true that we just need hope? It's the reason why people in developing countries, why people who are dealing with sickness, who are dealing with cancer, who do get older as our backs start to hurt more and things start to not work the way they were intended to, kind of like my stereo, it's the reason why we look forward. Because, you see, Jesus coming again is supposed to be something that gives us hope. That even in the midst of the difficulty, God meets with us in the midst of the present, and he gives us the future to look forward to. And that future, man, that is going to be more real than the lives that we are living now. It is going to be more real and more present than we can understand, and that's going to be forever. This life, it's like a mist. That life, it will go on forever. And Scripture tells us that we will be face to face with Jesus. You know, that's something that I can throw out there, and it's like, that sounds like such like a churchy, you know, pastor thing to say. We're gonna be face to face with Jesus someday. No, you all, you have no idea how amazing it's going to be when we come face to face with Jesus. In the Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says this. It says, for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. For now in this world, we connect with God through prayer and through his word and relationship with others, and it's difficult. It kind of reminds me, I mean, if you could take that passage, put it into modern day terms, I would see it saying something like, for now, we see only on Zoom, you know, and then we shall see face to face. And I think that for all of us this past year, after the last year and a half, can I get an amen that in comparison to Zoom, face to face is better? So true. You know, one of the things I love watching, how many of you have seen videos of soldiers returning from war to surprise their families? Have you seen any of these? They get back sooner than they expected, you know, and husbands and wives, you know, they who were overseas for a year to, you know, 18 months, they show up at their kid's school or like at a ball game. It's happened at UW games, you know, where all of a sudden the surprise is on. Yeah, I don't think that, you know, you see kids who return home to like their family house and there's a meal happening and they get to be with them. Yeah, I don't think that it's possible to be able to watch those without crying. Anyone else feel that way? And as I was getting ready for this sermon, I may have watched about 2 hours of them and ugly cried through all of it. I thought we could just watch these. You should watch them later today. So it's better face to face. And you see it in those moments. All of these people, they've been emailing with their families, and they've been texting with them, and they've been, I'm sure, having Skype calls and Zoom calls, but all of a sudden, as they see each other face to face, man, it is understatement to say emotional. As you see the embrace and the tears and the laughter and the joy, it's like all the feels come out in that moment as you see these people finally together. You see, listen to this. One day, you are going to come face to face with Jesus. And you're going to look into his eyes and see the eyes of the one who created you, who knows you better than you know yourself, and loved you to such a great level that he was willing to give his life so that he could spend eternity with you. It is an understatement to say that that moment will not be emotional. And I don't know if we'll be on our face before him or experiencing the embrace and bear hug of him, but it will be amazing. That's the grand finale that we wait for. And we will be together in a place where we are working and doing life and eating and drinking and celebrating in a world without sin, in a world without pain, in a world without suffering. It's a grand finale. So now we live the lives that God's called us to, and we wait expectantly of what is to come. The grand finale, it's on its way, and it's gonna blow our minds. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for your son, Jesus, for his love for us that does not make sense. And God, I thank you so much that this world is not the end. Jesus, you're coming, and you're coming to make all things right, and you're coming to give us a life that like we can't even wrap our minds around, and we'll get to be face to face with you. God, would you help us as a church to find our hope in that? God, would our worship be different because of a reality of what is to come? Would you help us to be people who stand firm, who live our lives with the idea that you are coming and live faithfully to the things that you have called us to now? God, we look so forward to the grand finale of one day being with you. Thank you that that's truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Should nothing of our effort stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive to Christ, our King, all glory.
sing together of that King who will one day come to reign. Our God, firm foundation. Our God, firm foundation. Our rock, the only solid ground. The nations rise and fall. Kingdoms, once strong, now shaken. We trust forever in your name. In the name of Jesus, let's lift up his name together. We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. Unmatched in all your wisdom, in love and justice you will reign, and every knee will bow. We bring our expectations. Our hope is anchored in your name, the name of Jesus. Sing it out together. We trust the name of Jesus. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
King forever. What a fantastic way to wrap up this series. We are indeed done with the Rooted series, but hey, if you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or maybe you just want to explore the topics that we covered a little bit more, please do not hesitate to reach out. We want to help you however we can. And actually, we'd love to invite you to check out Alpha. It is a group that we're offering this fall, and it's informal conversation. But it's very important questions about our spirituality and the person of Jesus. We'd love for you to jump into that if you're interested. Then also, if you have any questions about today's message, you can submit those for this week's question and response episode on the podcast. And join us next week as we open this book, this journal. It looks better this way, doesn't it? And start in the book of Acts as a church community together. All right, for our benediction, you know, as Christ followers, we are living in that broken in between, right? We're part of kingdom living right now and yet not yet. But no matter what is going on in this right now, we can have confidence in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we can live in that expectancy of that glorious grand finale that is yet to come. So with that, let's end our time with a verse from Romans 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.